And if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. I won't ask who's got their Christmas shopping done. I guess we won't go there this morning. Bless God. But we're looking forward to Christmas and worshiping God together. Next Sunday is Christmas Sunday. And it seems like we just got done with Thanksgiving. I'm still eating turkey from Thanksgiving. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. But bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 18. For, as I have often told you before now, say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing to be on us this morning as we look to the Word of God. God, we give all honor and glory and praise to You. We thank You, God, for Your peace, power, and presence in this place. We thank You for the privilege that we have to come together. And we do sense and honor, Lord, You're moving amongst us this morning. As we now look to the Word of God, we ask that through Your Word and Spirit, You would speak to our hearts this morning. I pray, God, that You would give words to this speaker and give us all ears to hear what Your Holy Spirit would have us to hear today so that we might grow in faith and truth. And we ask this in Your holy name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. I'd like to begin this morning by making a confession to you. Not too long ago, I went home for lunch, and my wife made taco soup, which actually is really good. And I had a big old mug of it, and it just tasted so good, I went and got another big old mug. And after that last mug, I thought to myself, I just need to keep on going. And so I only got about two-thirds of a mug because that's all was left. And then I got up to come back to church, and needless to say, it was a difficult afternoon. At least initially, trying to get going. Because I let my desire, and because that soup is just so good, it's a cup of love, if I could say it. I debated on whether saying that or not. But it was just so good, and I let my indulgence get the best of me. We've been talking about these last few weeks about the so-called seven deadly sins or deeds of the flesh that we run to in order to get the things that we should have, but more importantly, the things that we, or more aptly, the things that we need, specifically love, joy, and peace. We talked about how people indulge in lust or sexual immorality for a variety of reasons, but one reason they do so is to find substitute love. And last week we talked about materialism or greed. In fact, I didn't mention the title of the sermon. It was Season's Greetings, kind of a play on words. We talked about how we can search for riches, whether it be money or things, for peace and joy in our life. And this morning we're going to talk about the next deadly sin or spiritual counterfeit or substitute that we might run to instead of God And if we know Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, and so it should be a reality, although often it isn't in our lives as believers, God should be our sufficiency. The Bible says, in fact, later in the book of Philippians, my God shall supply all your need according to your riches, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus should be our everything. And whether we have, as the Apostle Paul writes, much or little, it shouldn't matter. If we have Jesus, we should have more than enough. As David writes, my cup runs over. Even in times of difficulty, we should have more than enough if we know Jesus. We find this by reading the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when Paul goes to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer, not once, not twice, but three times, asking God to move and deliver him from this oppressive spirit in his life. The Lord responds, my grace is what? Sufficient. More than enough. My cup runs over. If any man be in Christ, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. But to abide in Christ, and we've talked about this in weeks past, in order to be full of the Holy Spirit, to have a life that is marked by love, joy, and peace, as well as the other fruits of the Spirit, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, things that we need. We're not so much striving for those things, especially patience for some or for many of us. But love, joy, and peace is something that we desire in our lives. And it's necessary not only for our own contentment, but it's necessary for our witness that we live in those things. But instead of abiding in Christ, which is living a life of self-denial, denying ourselves of sin and ungodly things that distract us away from Jesus, and immersing ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ so that we might be filled to overflowing with His Spirit and therefore the fruits of His Spirit. We search for shortcuts. Things that come easy to us. Instead of real love, we look for lust. Instead of true peace and joy, we look for our peace and contentment in things. And this morning, we'll look at the sin of gluttony. How we search not only food, but other things, and overindulge in those things in a quest for comfort and peace in our lives. What is gluttony? I believe it encompasses, and I believe this one sin encompasses several sins of the flesh that are listed for us in Galatians chapter 5, reading verse 21. Three sins are listed for us in this verse, or spiritual counterfeits or substitutes: envy, but specifically drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Paul writes, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those two words, drunkenness and orgies, relate to our topic this morning, which is gluttony. Now, of course, when we think of drunkenness, we think of those who overindulge in alcohol, who drink to the point of intoxication and thus lose control. And of course, when we read the word orgy, there is a sexual connotation to it, but if you actually look at the Greek word, I think it's reveling in the King James Version, I might be mistaken. But it talks about a lifestyle of excess. Not necessarily sexually, although that could be included in that. Or a lifestyle of unrestraint or overindulgence. In fact, the word orgy could be described as a nocturnal or evening and riotous procession of half-drunken and frolicsome fellows who after supper would parade through streets with torches and music in honor of different deities that the Romans and Greeks worshiped during the day. I think that word orgy can best be described by, of course, unrestraint, overindulgence, lack of self-control. But I think the perfect picture that we have of this word is seen pretty regularly in our society and on a national level. And that's when a sports team wins a championship. Now, everybody wants to see their team win, right? You know, this is looking, if I could just step out of pastoral mode this morning, this is looking like a good year for the Patriots. Come on, Patriots fans. And, you know, we want them to win. And I imagine cities, you know, they want their team to win. But what invariably happens in cities after their team wins, or even more so on college campuses, if their college team wins a national championship? People run out in the street. People drink. People yell. People scream. And for some reason, celebrating in that context means destroying things, setting down fires, turning over cars. You know, why is that? I don't know. It's a kind of the crowd mentality. Basically, what happens? They lose self-control. They just indulge themselves and do whatever they feel like. A perfect example of what the sin of gluttony is. Of course, when we think of gluttony, we think of food. And yes, that is something we can overindulge in. But we can't just limit it to food. The sin of gluttony is not simply food. It also relates to drink, as brought out by those two words, drunkenness and orgies. But it also can relate to experience. You know, there's a high sometimes When you do certain activities, especially people who do extreme sports, you know, why do people do, you know, I'm not a guy who likes it, who would ever in my life jump out of an airplane. But people do that. Have you done that yet? Did you get a rush out of it? and you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, having fun and doing those things. But like anything that you can do that God has intended for you to enjoy but not control your life can become an overindulgence, just like food or just like drink. Now, in talking about this, and I'm going to relate primarily to food this morning, but it could relate to all those things, so please keep that in mind. But one thing I want to make clear to you this morning, as far as what I'm not talking about, when I talk about gluttony, I'm not talking about body image. I thank God that God has made us all different shapes and sizes. Some tall, some short. I'm not going to go any further than that because I don't want to get in any trouble. But you know, our society is telling us what we should look like. And many people have bought into that instead of allowing themselves to be what God created them to be. Beautiful as they are. And beauty is in the eye of the beholder. In fact, some people go the other way. If I could take a moment this morning, there's a danger in worshiping your body. You know, fitness can be a god, and there's nothing wrong with being fit. But some people go the other way, and instead of losing all restraint as far as eat or drink, viewing their body as now something that is now worshipped. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, we have that famous scripture that some people kind of take to heart a little too much. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You know, thank God for our bodies. And we should take care of our bodies because our bodies have been given to us as a means to worship God. We sing with our voices. We lift up our hands in praise. We bow on our knees. We worship or we witness to other people with our mouths. With our hands, we do works of service. Our bodies are a very important part of our worship to God and our Christian testimony. But for some, our bodies become, instead of objects of worship, or the means to worship, objects of worship. Think of, you know, beautiful cathedrals. And people who have built some of these wonderful cathedrals that we see all over the world, like St. Peter's Basilica and things like that. And they're so beautiful. And I think maybe the people who built those things were doing so to get a place that, you know, that people could come and worship God. But the danger is that in that is sometimes, you know, people worship the building instead of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And people do that with their bodies. My body's a temple. Well, yes, a temple was created to worship God, not to be worshipped. You know, and there are several scriptures that talk about that. And we shouldn't worship our body. 1 Timothy 4:8, physical training is of some value, but godliness has a value for all things, holding the promise for both the present life and the life to come. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 4. Wives, in the same manner, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. There's nothing wrong with exercise. There's nothing wrong with looking good. You're taking pride in your appearance, but there is a problem with worshiping either your appearance or your health. In fact, if I read Scripture correctly, and I believe I do, at least in this instance, our bodies are not to be worshipped. They're to be items of worship or living sacrifices unto God. And you read the Apostle Paul, he literally sacrificed his body physically for the cause of Christ. You can read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So whatever shape you are, be happy. God loves you. And if your husband or wife truly loves you, he loves you just the way, or she loves you just the way you are. And you don't have to, if you have to, you know, fit into some mold to be attracted to your spouse, you need to pray for your spouse that they get born again. Or at least get a fresh dose of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But the issue today is gluttony, and gluttony is an issue in our society. Food, drink, experience, but we're focusing on food. In fact, I did some reading this past week. According to the United States government, the number one New Year's resolution in American society is lose weight. And according to Time magazine, the number one resolution that's broken, losing weight. We have a problem with overindulgence in our society, and there are several reasons for this. One reason, and this should never be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and once again, I'm not talking about body image, and I don't stand in judgment of anyone today. In fact, you can be thin as a rail and be a gluttonous person. If you don't believe me, come over to my house during the holiday and watch my brother eat. I think I might send him this message. He'd get a kick out of it. He's a sight to see. It is something. But one reason why the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and any of these things, will leave you hollow and empty because they're counterfeits. You're looking to satisfy a need in your life. And of course, one reason, and I think these two reasons overlap, is that believers are weak-willed, lack self-discipline, or are ruled by the flesh. And listen, I'm speaking as someone who has been there and understands, and for any of you who've known me in the last 11 years, has seen my weight fluctuate. Paul says, I die every day in 1 Corinthians 15:31 and 32. I mean that, brothers. Just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained if the dead are not raised? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Just looking at that last phrase, you know, I read both those scriptures, but the last phrase, the attitude is, I'm just going to do whatever. I don't care. I'm going to let my flesh rule me. In fact, we'll talk about this in a little bit, the test to see whether or not we're afflicted with the sin of gluttony or not. I'm going to let my flesh rule me and not the new man or woman that God has created in me. A person who's like that is missing a very critical and important fruit of the Holy Spirit, the last one, which I think helps all those others to thrive, that being self-control. If we're going to be people who are strong for Jesus and who stand strong in the face of temptation, who are faithful in doing what God has called us to do, and who are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and to this precious gift of salvation that He has given us, taking good care of it, we need to be people of self-control. Because there'll be times you're not going to want to pray or read your Bible or witness or come to church or do all the other things that are associated with being a disciple or a follower of Jesus. If we have difficulty in saying no to food or drink or experience, how do we expect to stand up before temptation or persecution? But the second thing, and I think this is a greater issue, is that people turn to food or drink or experience for that matter because they're looking for those three precious gifts in their lives: love, joy, and peace. I'm going to show a video here, and this is from a really good website. Check it out. There's some really good testimonies on that that you can share with your friends or, you know. And we have one testimony from a young lady who was on the program, The Biggest Loser. And she actually won. And her name is Michelle Aguilar. And she talks about her weight problem. But she talks about what brought her to that problem. So let's take a look this morning. I wanted to show the whole testimony, and thank you for being with that this morning. But to show that people, and not everyone, but some people, in looking for love, will turn to food or some other thing. And you might ask or wonder why. Why in the world would anyone choose food to be a substitute for love and the joys that come with love in their lives? And I think the reason is because so much that we associate with love has food is associated with almost every love relationship that we have. I mean, young man, Where do you usually go for your first date? You take someone out where? Out to eat. And I know not every mother's a great cook, but what are some of the most fond memories that you have of your parents? Of the beautiful meals. And I know that your kids feel loved through your kitchens, because I've tasted some of your food. It's wonderful. Food is love. Food is comfort. Food is fulfillment. And when you don't have that in your life, and you don't have that in your life in its fullest, if you're not living and walking in the Spirit of God, and there's a need for love in your life, you'll turn to anything, including food, or sometimes the bottle, or maybe experience or a cause or something of that nature. But the results are devastating. They're devastating physically, of course, mentally and spiritually. I thought Michelle Aguilar brought it out so well. She turned to food and it left her feeling empty, unsatisfied, and guilty. Worse off, it might have given her a temporary fix, which is what counterfeits do. A quick fix that doesn't last and leaves you in worse shape. And there is a way to test ourselves to see whether or not we have been afflicted by the sin of gluttony. And it's not by your weight, and it's not by the shape of your body. But it is a hard thing to discern, because we need food. Food is, it's a natural thing to eat. And it's not only natural, I think God intended food to be enjoyed. If he didn't, we wouldn't have all these wonderful herbs and spices and seasonings and different kinds of foods with different tastes. It's a wonderful thing that we have. And bless God. Enjoy your meal. It's a blessing of God to you. But when food or any other issue becomes gluttonous, it's when it becomes your God. From our text this morning, it talks about the ungodly. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And if you have food or anything else as your God, two things mark your life. You worship that thing. And number two, you are controlled by that thing. And food, drink, and experience was never meant for that. For you to worship or to control you. So we need to ask ourselves regarding the indulgences of our lives, whether or not we are over-indulging. Does your life revolve around your indulgence, whether it's your stomach or your experience or whatever it might be? You plan your life around that thing. And if you cannot be with the food or have the food that you like, when you like, how you like it, do you get irritated? Do you become angry? Do you lose your joy? And very possibly you might need to ask God, because you may have a problem. But I thank God that overindulgence, as well as greed, as well as lust, as well as any of the other seven deadly sins, can be overcome in Christ. But it's only overcome one way, and that's by living in strong relationship with God's Holy Spirit. Reading Romans 13, verses 13 and 14, the calling of God upon the believer. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. There's something about when you immerse yourself, when you have a life that is immersed in the Lord Jesus Christ, it covers or it clothes you. And there's two things that speak to me out of that imagery that Paul is giving us in that scripture, as far as being clothed or being covered. Number one, we feel secure. You know, just on a cold day, isn't it nice to bundle up in a nice sweater or sweatshirt and just feel all nice and toasty, or blanket for that matter? In fact, just over Larry's house, and his kids love, little ones love walking around their little blankets. Why? Because it feels so comforting. Isn't that the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the comforter? The one who has come alongside to help, he just wraps us with his presence. He gives us the assurance that we're loved, and not only the assurance that we're loved, but the feeling of love in and of itself. Let me tell you, if you don't feel loved, just go back to Calvary. Think, remember who you, not only you were, but who you are now, and all your imperfection, God loves you so much. And secondly, clothing also protects from the elements. When we clothe ourselves with Jesus, we're protected from all those things that would try to tempt us and entice us and engross us. In order to overcome the sin of gluttony, we can't find, and there's nothing wrong with these things per se, but you'll never find the love, the joy, the security, or the self-control you're looking for in either diets, programs, or accountability groups. The only sure and lasting satisfaction to your soul is the Lord Jesus Christ in His presence. He is, as we sang, we didn't sing this last week, maybe we'll sing it this week, He is more than enough. Amen? All of you is more than enough for all of me, for every burden, every need. It's a good song because it reminds us of who God is and what God will do. And so it's important, as we read earlier, or referred to earlier, from John 15:4-5, the calling of Christ, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The solution to every sin or every counterfeit that leaves us empty is more of the Holy Spirit and living in the Holy Spirit. If you are ruled by your flesh, the solution is the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And if you are empty and looking for love, and there are people, how sad, how tragic, and how wrong it is, who live their lives without love, either because of their own actions or just because society has deemed them unlovely, they can feel satisfied that they are loved solely in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Regarding drunkenness, Paul says this, which is a form of overindulgence or gluttony. In Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is overflowing my soul. What kept the prophets of old, as well as many men and women of God through the age of the church who went through great persecutions and rejections, not only close to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only faithful to the call that they were doing, but singing songs of joy and adoration. Think of the Wesleys, who wrote great hymns of joy and thanksgiving, despite the fact they were persecuted every moment of their lives. They were filled to overflowing with the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ because they were filled with God's Holy Spirit. I'd like to ask our musicians to come. The decision of being filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing rests not with God, but with us. I'm not saying that we command God. God has sent His Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of if the Holy Spirit can dwell richly and satisfyingly within us. That's not a question at all. The question or not is whether or not we will live in that privilege that Calvary has afforded us. Galatians 5, verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Would you stand with me this morning? And I don't know if you're ready. Hallelujah. We're going to sing, I'm not sure what song the folks are going to close with this morning. But as we sing a song of praise and adoration this morning, let us make our hearts pledge that we're going to find love and fullness in God. And God is going to give us the power. Amen? He's going to give us the love, but also the discipline that we need. Not to be under control of anything. And we're talking about food, drink, and experience this morning. But this also relates to every aspect of our lives. It could relate to any kind of sin or destructive behavior. We are slaves to sin unless the Holy Spirit empowers us otherwise because our flesh is weak. The goal is to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. So let's make that our prayer this morning in Jesus' precious name. Folks, if you